In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and I'm so glad you could join us for our journey through the book of Exodus. We've just wrapped up the Ten Commandments. We're at Mount Sinai, and God is speaking in His glory with a pillar of fire and smoke. And really what's about to take place next is that God's going to call Moses up to the mountain and begin to reveal more of the law. And really we left off with this question, and that is this: do you desire what God desires? Do you want that kind of heart? Do you fear and revere God that your life shows it? And this is the question. We need to have this love for God and love for His Word, and we are easily able to give lip service to that, but do we give life service to that? Listen to the psalmist on this matter. Psalm 25, verses 4 through 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Do you sense the love for God and His Word? And this isn't just lip service, this is life service. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, do you see what's going on here? This is a psalmist saying, I love you, God, and my life will be dedicated to you and your principles. In other words, when choices are made and the fork in the road is faced, you choose God over self. You choose the Lord rather than the world. Psalm 86:11, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. And the word walk is a picture of your daily living. It represents how you live your life. Psalm 119:12, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts, contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Do you see the psalmist and what they're communicating? A life centered upon knowing and applying God's word. Not for selfish gain, but to please the Savior. Ephesians 3:14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now I'm going to pause here. Do you see the emptying of self and the filling up of God's word? Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the heartbeat of a genuine, born-again, faith-believing Christian. Rooted and grounded in love, learning the Word and applying the Word, serving God and others for His glory, not yours. New Covenant, Jeremiah 31:33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I'll remember no more. That is the new covenant that you and I are a part of. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God took the Spirit and placed this in us, washed us with the blood of the Lamb, made us born again. We died with Christ. We were buried with Christ. We raised to new life in Christ. And that Spirit of God wrote the law of God on our hearts. And now we live differently. Conclusion is this. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now don't miss what's being said here. When it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, what's the opposite of that? No fear of the Lord leads to no knowledge. Do you see the contrast? Who does not fear the Lord? Unbelievers. So when you see the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, we're talking not just information, knowledge, we're talking relationship as well. To fear the Lord truly is to be born again and to know Him. And fearing Him leads you to go to His Word to know how to obey and please Him. Now, there's a transition passage here, Exodus chapter 20, verse 21. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. So now we're transitioning from this moment where all of Israel is seeing this incredible display of God as pillar of fire and smoke with the voice from heaven, and they are agreeing to the terms of the covenant, and now God calls Moses up to the mountain. Now, we're going to go into the various laws of Israel. Now, these laws are not like your typical law book where every single case is identified. Rather, we're going to be looking at significant cases, and then what the way the scriptures are supposed to work is they would reason from there all other exceptions. Now, Exodus 20, 22 to chapter 23, verse 33 outlines more details of this covenant at Sinai, the book of the covenant from Exodus 24, verse 7. Now, there's ways to classify these numerous laws that we're about to see, and it's fascinating because we're going to discover just how far our country has fallen from these biblical truths. Now, there are three helpful ways to organize these materials. I'm going to throw some fancy jargon at you. It's only there just to help you understand what's going on. There's two types of laws. There's case law, and then there's direct commands. Case law is called casuistic, and direct commands are called apodictic. Now, that's one way you can look at the text. There's case law and direct commands. Another way that others have looked at this is there's ceremonial laws, there's moral and ethical laws, and there's judicial or civil laws. And that's an important distinction. Today, we don't follow the ceremonial, and we don't really follow the judicial, those unique laws to Israel. We don't stone people for adultery today. That's a case in point. There's also a third way in which the text organizes the laws we're about to read. Some are placed as when, if, and then. Some are participial, whoever. Some are you, plural, shall not, and others are you, singular, shall not. These are just three different ways to look at these laws, and it may be helpful to understand this framework as we get in to the laws. So let's begin with the first one, the law of the altars. And let me read Exodus chapter 20, verses 22 through 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me. Gods of silver or gods of gold you shall not make for yourself. An altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place, and here's the key, where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. And if you make an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. Nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it." Now, what's going on here? First, there is separation. You have seen that I've talked with you from heaven. This is to show that not only has God separated Israel from the rest of the nations, but even Moses, as he goes up, being separated from the people. Now, notice it's not face to face. Listen to what God says to Aaron and Miriam after the rebellion against Moses. Numbers 12:6. God said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord, which I believe is the pre-incarnate Christ. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So this is to show us that God has separated Moses in a very unique, special way for the people of Israel. And yet we see others, Miriam and Aaron, rebelling, being insubordinate in a sinful way towards Moses. Now, this is important to understand. It's not that Moses is righteous in his own sake, that he can go up to the mountain. No, no, no. God condescends to reach man, and God chooses who is able to come near his glory. Nehemiah 9:13, you come down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them just ordinances and true laws. This is speaking of this event. Good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, your servant. Do you see how God is condescending to reach man? He doesn't leave man in its helpless state, but he shows Moses the law to let them know how God needs to be respected, revered, feared, worshiped. Now, this word idols in this verse in Hebrew has parallelism. Let me walk you through this and see if you can catch the connection. You shall not make, okay, that's the first part of the admonition, to be with me, and then it's gods of silver, gods of gold. There's the parallelism. But look what else is parallel. You shall not make, just like it said earlier, you shall not make for yourselves. In other words, be with you. So do you see it's a both and. It's you shall not make to be with me or to be with you gods of silver, gods of gold. This couldn't be more clear to Israel that God forbids idols and idolatry. And it's hard to believe that before Moses comes down from Mount Sinai, he will come down and see Aaron and the people embracing the golden calf, the idol. This goes beyond merely idolatry, but to adding ornaments and beautifying. As it mentioned about this altar of earth and altar of stones, there are rules that God has for these altars. They need to be made and used in a certain way. And this is to establish that nothing comes to the altar but the person and sacrifice. And this gives clarity why God hated the gold and silver used with the idol. Deuteronomy 7:25, you shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. You shall not bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Now, we're out of time, but we're going to come back to this issue of the altars and why God had these specific instructions of how to make it and why they should not be putting a tool to hewn the stone of this altar of stone. Well, until then, I just pray that you will focus your mind, your life, to committing to obeying God and His Word. Don't just give God lip service, give Him life service.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.